I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The state will not charge officers who fatally shot a Fairbanks man last Christmas Eve. An Alaska Office of Special Prosecutions report says three state troopers and two Fairbanks police officers lawfully used deadly force against 20-year-old Cody Iyer, originally from Juneau. Citing the report, Fairbanks police spokeswoman Yumi McCulloch described what police and troopers say led to firing on Iyer.
Mr. Iyer did point his gun at the officers and made some pretty strong statements towards them. I don't want to repeat them because they are pretty graphic. They are in the declination letter, and that made the officers fear for their lives, the lives of their fellow officers, and they were close to a residential area, and we needed to make sure that that threat was stopped.
The report says officers were initially contacted to check on Iyer by a friend in Wasilla who said he'd seen Iyer on Facebook talking about killing himself. Iyer's mother called 911 for help, saying her son was depressed, had been drinking, and had left the house on foot with a holstered handgun. The report says Iyer repeatedly threatened to kill himself and gestured his gun toward responding officers as they followed him along roads on Fairbanks' east side. The report details repeated attempts by officers to get Iyer to drop his gun and offers to get him help before the situation escalates. There are law enforcement audio and video recordings of the encounter, but McCulloch says release has been delayed until an October 10th press release.
Officers don't take incidents like this very lightly at all, and we are concerned about the Iyer family and know that they have suffered a loss and want to be respectful to them.
The report says the five officers fired more than 40 rounds in two volleys at Iyer. In between, they say he remained a threat. First aid was administered, but Iyer died a short time later at the hospital. The fatal wound was a shot to the back of his head. Iyer's handgun was not fired and only carried a single round. Speaking remotely from California, family attorney Mark Choate says they are disappointed with the Office of Special Prosecutions report.
The decision to not prosecute does not mean that the shooting was, quote, justified, unquote. The decision to not prosecute simply means that the special prosecutor determined that he could not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that the conduct was criminal. We remain convinced that the evidence will show that Cody's death was a result of poor training and judgment by a swatted-up group of officers who failed in their primary duty to protect Cody.
Cody Iyer was Alaska Native, and his family believes race was a factor in how law enforcement responded. They are preparing a civil rights lawsuit and plan to issue a press release soon. Independent Governor Bill Walker and Democratic candidate for Governor Mark Begich answered a question today about how they're competing for the same voters. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman went to a Get Out the Native Vote forum for candidates for governor in Juneau today.
Juneau Representative Sam Keto III read the question from a member of the audience. Republican candidate Mike Dunleavy wasn't on the stage.
Please address the fact that there are two candidates vying for the same pool of votes. Has a compromise been discussed to ensure that no-show Dunleavy does not win by default of vote splitting? And I'm just reading a question provided by the audience. Our first to...
Begich is a former U.S. senator. He says the candidates must earn every vote. He says the voters will have a choice about who can win and who has the best plan of action for the state.
What's so great about elections is it's in your hands. It's not in ours. It's in yours. I think whoever gets to 38% or so wins this race.
Walker says he built a cabinet that drew from the entire state because he didn't discriminate based on partisan affiliation. He says the candidate spent the first term addressing the state's budget crisis.
You know, we have wrestled with the fiscal issue, but we wrestled it to the ground. We stayed here. We didn't quit. We showed up, and we did the hard work.
Walker says he's angry that Dunleavy didn't attend.
It was very disrespectful. Neither he nor the lieutenant governor could get the courtesy of attending today. I'm embarrassed as an Alaskan that we have somebody running for this office who will not show up in this room.
Asked for a reaction, Dunleavy emailed a statement, quote, Bill Walker should be more embarrassed by his failed record of a weak economy, vetoed PFDs, and skyrocketing crime than by my campaign schedule, end quote. He also said he lived in rural Alaska for 19 years with Alaska Native people. Dunleavy's campaign said he had multiple meetings in Anchorage Tuesday. Libertarian candidate Billy Toyen slapped his campaign bumper sticker over Dunleavy's nameplate. Toyen is a hotel concierge. He says he doesn't have a problem with vote splitting.
I think it's all about voting your conscience. It doesn't matter who is or isn't running, win, lose, or draw. If everybody decided to throw their vote away by voting for me, I would win.
Dunleavy did attend a candidate forum at the Anchorage Aviation Museum on Monday. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Petersburg hosted the Rainforest Festival last month, where science experts taught the public about the biological world surrounding them. One of those experts taught people about fungi and how it's an integral part of the forest ecosystem. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
A dozen kids are peering down at fungi, displayed in black plastic trays that cover two tables. They're outside the U.S. Forest Service building in downtown Petersburg.
What's this?
That's another kind of lichen. There's some moss in there, too, though. You see the green stuff underneath?
Yeah.
That's a moss, and this part's a lichen.
Explaining the fungi is mycologist Ron Hamill.
Really, this is only a small representative sample of what's actually here. There's many, many more species than this. I have logged over 500 species from Southeast Alaska so far, and that's still just scratching the surface.
Hamill became obsessed with fungi when he was in college about 30 years ago. He says the forest wouldn't be the same without it. Trees would be about human height without the nutrients and water provided by fungi.
Really, everything on Earth is mediated by fungi. They're the great recyclers of the planet. They work in the rivers. They actually break down the fish and make those available on the plant banks. They're responsible for many of our foods. We wouldn't have beer or bread without fungi.
Hamill believes educating people on the importance of fungi will help them understand the fragile nature of the forest ecosystem. Rare species are living in the Tongass National Forest. Hamill has identified one that has been found less than 10 times worldwide.
It's a small brown, nondescript brown mushroom called Satharella sphagnacola. It's out in the bogs. It's out in the sphagnum. It is here, but I've seen it twice in 5 years, once here and once on Prince of Wales Island.
Hamill says all the fungi play a specific role. Some are mycorrhizal, which join to the trees through a root system. They pass nutrients to the trees, like phosphorus and nitrogen, from other decayer fungi that decompose forest plants. And then in turn, the trees grow bigger and give more back to the fungi.
That increase in tree growth leads to a feedback, positive feedback loop, where they're dropping more needles over time, more wood hits the ground, so it leaves more things available to the saprobes to recycle and release the nutrients back into the system again.
Another fungi, a lichen, takes nitrogen from the air and turns it into something usable for the forest.
Which is very difficult to do. We don't know how to do it. Our nitrogen fertilizers all come from petrochemicals.
Sometimes it amounts to pounds of fertilizer hitting the forest floor every year. One large tree can have hundreds of species associated with it. Hamill says that diversity is key, especially with climate change. Diversity brings strength to the forest.
You know, some of these things only function under certain temperature and moisture windows, but others may be able to, say if we have a long dry spell, others may be able to maintain some of those connections and pass along vital nutrients and even some of them provide protection from other pathogens from the tree by occupying space. So, you know, maintaining the diversity is very important, especially in a changing environment.
The fungi workshop was just one of several workshops on and off the water during the Rainforest Festival. The event ran September 6th through the 9th in Petersburg. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And I'm Jeremy Shea. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom.